National Savings. Andrew Mehta from PRP Architects wonders whether a real energy saving strategy would be more relevant than the government's new Powering Up Britain idea. The new Department for Energy Security and Net Zero recently published its Powering Up Britain report, which sets out the department's approach to achieving energy security and net zero. It is an introductory report to the two accompanying, and much longer, reports, Powering Up Britain, Energy Security Plan, and Powering Up Britain, Net Zero Growth Plan. Powering Up Britain is a very interesting title. It suggests a need for more energy when we should be reducing our energy use and transitioning to cleaner sources of energy. Perhaps it should be called Saving Britain instead, as if we don't take the steps set out in the strategy, the consequences for society could be huge. The intent of the strategy is of course welcome and much needed, however, in some areas, the proposal simply does not go far enough, and we need greater steps to ensure we meet the 2035 and 250 legally binding carbon targets. Policy is one thing, implementation is another, as the latter involves industry and the public, and both often need incentives or legislation to change. Carbon capture and storage, CCS. Carbon capture and storage, CCS, is proposed at an estimated cost in the order of many billions of pounds to prevent emissions entering the atmosphere where fossil fuels are burnt at power stations. This seems to support continued fossil fuel use for too long a period into the future. Will storing carbon in the seabed simply create problems for future generations? Are we simply sweeping the problem under the carpet? Fossil fuel use should be reduced to such an extent that the CCS plants are not required for this purpose at the time of their planned introduction. If the CCS plants are to be constructed, many would question the benefit of spending so much money on such technology. They should be used to remove existing carbon emissions from the atmosphere to help reduce the impacts of climate change. Reforesting parts of Britain may be a better way of absorbing carbon, especially with the added benefits they bring, including reducing flood risk through rainfall interception and reducing rapid runoff. Restoring peatlands would also contribute in the same way. The challenge is not just building design and performance, but the regeneration of our natural environment. The Not-So-Great British Insulation Scheme. The Great British Insulation Scheme proposes to install loft insulation and cavity wall insulation, but these relatively simple measures should have been implemented across the housing stock at least a decade ago. There is nothing great about it. We have been talking about loft and cavity insulation for a long time, very simple thermal measures which should have been completed by now. The ambition to install those measures in only 300,000 homes is not ambitious. The measures, if installed properly, will provide some financial and comfort benefit to the householders, but there are many more homes that need retrofitting. Any insulation program must be delivered without risk to the building fabric and the building occupants' health and safety. Previous similar programs such as CERT, CISP and ECO have resulted in cavity wall insulation being removed due to moisture retention, thermal bridging leaving cold spots that created locations for black mold growth, and large-scale installation of EPS render systems on apartment blocks that is now being removed as it is deemed a fire risk, post-Grenfell. The wider impacts and risks associated with insulation measures therefore need to be carefully considered and mitigated to ensure there are only benefits for building occupants and not health and safety risks. Subsequent removal of defective insulation and associated building fabric has an environmental impact in itself. Transition to electric heating systems. The planned decoupling of electricity prices from gas prices is a step in the right direction, and it will hopefully aid in the transition to electric heating systems as well as cooking. The latter has a much smaller impact than heating, but it is often never included in formal decarbonization plans. Homeowners and landlords need incentives to remove gas systems from homes. The plan for consultation with homeowners on how to decarbonize homes will require the government to be courageous and introduce financial incentives, along with some level of penalties to expedite the necessary transition. One option may be to establish a minimum EPC rating at the point of sale of a home, accompanied by short-term financial support for energy retrofit works. The buyer would then receive a mortgage that allows for the additional cost of the retrofitted house. Some homeowners may not like such a proposal, but action is non-negotiable given what we need to do as a nation. Air-source heat pumps have become the default technology for new houses, and the purchaser has no choice of the installed heat pump appearance. Many existing homeowners will not only need financial incentives to install heat pumps, but will need awareness of how they operate and the benefits. Some will care about the appearance and the impact it has on the exterior of the home. Heat pump manufacturers will need to look to the electric car industry to see how the contemporary appearance can drive sales. Vitruvius may have been referring to well-designed buildings with his words commodity, firmness and delight, yet they could equally apply today to heat pumps. Heat pump manufacturers, we need more delight, please. In conclusion, it does seem that if the UK is to hit its net zero targets, then the government will need to do more than is set out in the Powering Up Britain reports, especially when it comes to building performance. More will undoubtedly include policy and legislation and will likely affect political votes, but these are consequences that will have to be accepted as there is no time to stall further. We have been stalling for too long, and it is getting frustrating. Minimum EPC ratings for commercial buildings are driving change and will continue to do so over the next 5 years. Similar legislation will be needed for the residential sector with financial incentives to support the required retrofitting program. All of this is possible, and the government will have to accept the very likely political and financial impacts. It seemingly has no choice but to do so, and to do so very soon. Andrew Mellor is a partner at PRP Architects.